Welcome to the New Books in Political Science podcast. My name is Heath Brown. Today I have the pleasure to have my colleague, an author of Candidate-Centered Campaigns, Political Messages, Winning Personalities, and Personal Appeals, Brian Arbour. Brian's book is published this year by Palgrave Macmillan. I hope that you enjoy this conversation that I had with him. Welcome back to the podcast. As I mentioned, I have the real pleasure today to talk to a colleague of mine who is the author of Candidate-Centered Campaigns, Political Messages, Winning Personalities, and Personal Appeals. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Heath. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Before we get to this interesting book, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself? I know where you are, but why don't you share a little bit more about yourself with the audience?
Sure. I'm an associate professor at John Jay College, which is part of City University of New York, in the political science department here. I think more relevant to the book here is I worked, before I went to grad school, I worked 5 years on various political campaigns as a staffer and minor consultant. And really that sort of experience really shaped a lot of my perspective on what I learned in graduate school and a lot of perspective on how I developed the ideas and thoughts, a lot of the initial thoughts on this book.
Yeah, and this really is a... It's not a book for consultants, but it's a kind of a book about consultants and the role they play in trying to shape campaign narratives, particularly the advertising side of this. Let's talk about the book. You have such great quotes, sort of takes us through memory lane of different candidates and when they've run. I wonder if you'd read for us from one of the political ads. And so just to kind of get us started, you tell us who the ad is for and when it was from, and then maybe just read it to us.
Sure. One of my favorite campaigns from having done the research and decoded and transcribed a lot of these ads is from Ken Salazar when he ran for senator in Colorado in 2004. Notable, George Bush won Colorado that year, but Salazar was able to defeat a Republican in an open seat race that year, beat Pete Coors of the famed Coors Brewing Company. And he did it by running a very personalized campaign. So this is from one of his ads. This is the narrator says, Ken Salazar still works weekends at his family's ranch. His wife, Hope, runs a Dairy Queen. Their values run deep. Work, faith, family. As our attorney general, Ken Salazar fought to protect our land, water, and people. In the Senate, he'll focus on cutting the deficit, on helping families with affordable health care and quality education, tax cuts for the middle class and not for millionaires. He'll always be a champion for people.
Yeah, that's I think such a good way to start this. And before we get to kind of what you analyze in empirical ways, what just jumps out at you from just that short ad? What are sort of the keys in there that would pull you towards analyzing it? What would you code? What matters in that ad?
Sure. Well, traditionally, when political scientists study campaign advertising and campaign messages, they would focus almost entirely on the second half of that advertisement, where it talks about taxes, where it talks about health care, where it talks about education, where it talks about the real substantive issues. And what we're missing, I mean, data sets you'll find it coded sort of as biography, but it's rare to find papers that will analyze the first half of that advertisement. And really, part of the argument I make in the book is the first half of that advertisement is absolutely essential to that advertisement working, because the first half tells us about who Salazar is and tells voters why they should trust Ken Salazar. It's looking back as opposed to looking forward. In most political science models of campaign advertising and campaign messaging just tell us what they're looking forward to, what issues they intend to work on or focus on, how they position themselves. What my book argues is there's a real personal dimension to campaign strategy that is absolutely essential to having an effective ad. And my first sort of comment is we political scientists do a lousy job of accounting for that. And so my book is, in many ways, hopefully a corrective to that.
Yeah. And so, on the one hand, it seems quite obvious why one would do this. But you really do think about this a good deal. You, in one of the later chapters suggests, at least three different sort of reasons why this approach might work.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the triggers that what is triggered in the person listening to or watching the ad that this approach would play upon?
Well, so the assumption that I believe political consultants and campaigners have when they're talking to voters, particularly the broad swath of voters who don't know them real well and they're just watching an advertisement, is these people do not trust what's being said by politicians. And any campaign ad, no matter how much of a not a politician try to appeal you make, you come across as a politician. So one of the things that campaigns try to do is there's a credibility and likability threshold that they must overcome. And if they don't do that, people aren't going to listen to the issue message. They're not going to listen to the policy proposals. So one of the things I find is early this advertisement works well because the first half of that Salazar advertisement is all about building up his credibility and likability. Understanding how he's relatable to people, but also they talk about his record as attorney general, that he is not just, son of the earth here but also someone with some accomplishments, things he's done in his past. And therefore the voters can trust that he does have their best interests at heart in trying to work on the issues that are mentioned in the second half of the advertisement.
So, how do you do this? Walk us through a little bit of your approach, which data you use and the way in which you use it, because, this is subtle. What's the approach that you took in the book?
Well, there's a couple different approaches and I'll highlight two here. Most of the data in the book come from campaign advertisements from congressional candidates, both Senate candidates like Ken Salazar and House candidates, which I chose those rather than say presidential because it gives me a wide variety, a much greater in of candidates and different backgrounds, different perspectives, incumbents, challengers, etc. And then I would code the advertisement. I would break advertisements down into their individual phrases. And the thing I looked in particular for, the way I sort of code something that's candidate-centered, is something that is about what that candidate has done in his or her past. So in the Salazar ad that we talked about at the beginning, he works weekends at his family ranch, his wife runs a Dairy Queen, he's done this work as attorney general to protect land, water, people. All of those are things about Salazar and the things he's done in his past, both his biography and his record in political office. The second half of the advertisement is about, that's actually in the future tense. In the Senate, he will focus, and that tells us what he's going to do. So those would not be coded as sort of candidate-centered information. Keith, if you were running, you could say those things. As best I know, you don't, your wife does not own a Dairy Queen, and therefore you couldn't say that, and you haven't been attorney.
I can only dream.
We had the same for all of us. So kind of the standard I was using as I coded this is it's something that, only Ken Salazar could say that because that's his experience. Things that anybody could say, would not be candidate-centered. So it was an attempt to really look not so much at the issue content, and not look at, whether they're talking about the deficit or whether they're talking about health care or taxes, which, again, is this classic, and, I cite all those studies in the book, sort of look at the way that political scientists really look at this, but try to look at how candidates are talking about themselves.
Now you'd say, well, this makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
You've made your case.
Mm-hmm.
It must be that everybody talks about themselves, right? If we just look at the population that has selected into this, these tend to be people who think somewhat highly of themselves, and it wouldn't be surprising if they talk about themselves. But that's not exactly what you find in the book. So why don't you walk us through a couple of the patterns of candidate-centered campaigns, and with particular interest, I hope, to the comparisons you make between incumbents and challengers, because for me, that was some of the most interesting and certainly to some of the most statistically significant findings that you have in the book.
Yeah. I mean, so, again, the sort of animating theory behind Focus on Cancer Center campaigns is that you will see that this information serves to build credibility and likability. And therefore, one thing you'd expect is that campaigns will talk about these things sooner rather than later. There's something you want to do at the beginning. And I sort of thought through how to operationalize that. I thought there were sort of two different ways to think about at the beginning. The first is temporally. That is, you'll see more advertisements about a candidate, about the sponsoring candidate, in the early parts of a campaign. And I define this from, you know, assuming campaigns ran from Labor Day to Election Day, which works out well enough when you have that broad sweep of ads that I do. And you'll see more of these, you know, sort of mentions of a candidate's biography, background, record, closer to Labor Day in the first couple of weeks of the campaign, and that will erode as you get closer to Election Day. The second way I thought about that early is, do they do that early in an advertisement? And again, I found that I think it was like the third phrase in an advertisement was the peak, was where most of you get a majority of those phrases were about candidate-centered information about candidate. So that's one of the sort of the sort of tests that was my theory. The second is I looked at what candidates would say about themselves, and I varied this between based on a candidate's status. So you'd have incumbents and challengers and open seats. And what you tend to find is that incumbents and challengers, not surprisingly, will use different types of candidate-centered appeals. For incumbents, they're more likely to focus on their background in office and most and really their background as an incumbent. Makes logical sense, right? They have, mm-hmm. We know the voters should have some idea of who this person is and what they've done, what they did to get an office. Now what they're selling is what I've been doing the last 2 years, 6 years, really can be longer than that. They're not, you know, look at these ads, they're not necessarily focused on, you know, for member of Congress the previous 2 years, you have a longer time frame. So I have a series of advertisements I list in there with the sort of text there that sort of tell the different ways to do this. For challengers, are more likely to talk about stuff. They haven't been in office, and for many of them may not necessarily have held political office. They're more likely to talk about biography, you know, family backgrounds, things like that in their advertisements. So there's differences between what incumbents and challengers, the type of candidates and information that they will focus on, for the obvious reasons they have different backgrounds and different sort of credibility with, or potential for credibility with voters.
Yeah, this is such a neat sort of empirical analysis, and the way you went about this is so interesting. But make the case that this is more than just neat. How does this matter? Why does this matter to sort of democratic institutions? Why does this matter to us as voters? Mm-hmm. Fill this out for us. Connect this up, because sure. I think some of the read of the what you've described is, well, that's sort of what I'd expect. Mm-hmm. And you know, we sort of know that they're playing games, so mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter that much. Make the case that these are findings that do matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument I make, and I make this in the final chapter of the book, is that voters are doing themselves a disservice by focusing so much on candidates, their personality, and their background. And the political science evidence is pretty clear that if you want to know what candidates are going to do in office, look at what they promised during a campaign. The scope of people who actually believe that is limited to the political scientists who have written and read those studies. Mm-hmm. So voters distrust this, have reasons to do this. We can think of famous examples where this is, you know, where, you know, politicians have gone back on broken promises and the like. But really, I think what we're missing is if you want to get them on the record, if you want to get them to do what you want, get them to pledge it during the campaign. take your focus off their personality and focus it on the issues. Focus on the policy proposals. Get those as specific as possible. Voters, I believe, are, you know, they have the wrong remedy to their to the illness they're seeing. Voters are focusing on the personality, thinking if we get higher quality people as candidates, we'll get better results. I would argue the better way to go about it is to get more specific and detailed promises about policy positions, and you'll get the results that fit based on that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting book, and one that you know, given that we're coming to the end of campaign season, I hope that people take a look at it, you know, because there's another campaign right around the corner. What's next from you? We talked a little before we started recording about some of the next project for you, but is there another book on the horizon for you?
I mean, long term, I have a book project, I think, on looking at the change in politics in the Appalachians and the Upper South. Which I've written a couple articles on, and I keep, you know, those thoughts keep in my head and something to do that. I think that's a ways off because I'd like to have the 2016 election before I do that. In the interim, I have another project with a couple co-authors, Mark McKenzie at Texas Tech and Ryan Reby at William Patterson, that looks at rhetoric in judicial elections. And we're currently collecting data, unsurprisingly, more slowly than we had intended, but looking at websites from judicial candidates as a way to look at rhetoric and how this, you know, and think about are some of the things we see in legislative and executive elections, are those moving in judicial elections, which are supposed to be fought on a sort of different grounds than legislative elections, are these techniques being moved into the judicial sphere? And, you know, we have some early findings on that, and we keep exploring that.
Yeah, great. Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Brian's current book that is published by Palgrave Macmillan this year is Candidate-Centered Campaigns, Political Messages, Winning Personalities, and Personal Appeals. Brian, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome, Heath. Thank you.